Welcome to Crappy Friends, the podcast that discusses female friendships, the good, the bad, the ugly.
Girl power defeating bitchery since 2018.
I'm New York Times bestselling author Kristen Higgins.
And I'm USA Today bestselling author Joss Day.
And we're best friends.
In fact, we are. I'll have you know, I remembered that we were podcasting since 2018 without having to look at that yesterday when I was talking to a colleague and she was asking me about it. I said, yeah, we've been podcasting since 2018. It came right off of my head.
Wow. It's yeah. Like you've said it over 100 times.
Could be that.
I'm proud of you, Joss. I'm proud
Thank
of you.
Thank you.
We have a great letter this week.
Oh,
don't
yeah.
You think? It's juicy and it's very relatable.
Yes.
Go ahead and read it for us, Joss.
Okay. Do you get past hurt feelings, particularly when a friend blames you for their hurt feelings? I'm so very tired of feeling like I live amongst so many landmines. You know, somewhere, somehow, there's going to be an incident, but have no way of knowing when, where, or how it will be set off. In my case, it's particularly difficult because they're not just friends, or were. I'm not sure where I stand at the moment, but they're also family. I can apologize for some accountability, but I don't believe I'm the sole source of the problem. Case in point, a few weeks ago, my friend called, and during our conversation, we discovered we both had plans to take a road trip and visit a particular destination, and we talked about teaming up for it. Granted, no specifics were determined, but we agreed to talk more and make plans. Color myself hurt and disappointed when friend calls from the road and says, sorry, I'm already on the road. Sorry, I couldn't wait around to make plans with you. I was hurt, but I didn't say anything. I put myself in her position and could see where she was coming from and why she didn't wait. Now, only a couple weeks later, we make a short road trip and have a great time. During this trip, we talked about yet another trip. But she kept saying that she really wanted to go, but just wasn't sure the circumstances would allow it. And there was a long list of circumstances. A few days later, I go ahead and proceed with my own plans based upon that long list of circumstances and no further communication from her. Of course, once I made my plans, then she calls and now is deeply hurt by my actions because I didn't wait for her. Now I'm very afraid she's not speaking to me. I apologized via voicemail. She wouldn't pick up. And I've been struggling with writing a letter, but I'm so afraid I'll make the situation even worse. I'm not sure what to do. Signed, unsure.
Well, unsure. It does sound like a conundrum that many of us can relate to. The idea that someone's going to have a terrible day because of something we unwittingly did. And to me, I call that toxic.
Yes, that is what we call it. Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know, your initial question is, how do you get past hurt feelings when someone's blaming them for you? In your situation, I don't understand why she has hurt feelings. She did it to you first.
Mm-hmm.
You had talked vaguely about going to the same place and maybe we're going to go together. And then she went without mm-hmm. you or with someone else. You didn't hold a grudge. You went on a trip where you had a wonderful time. And then you very logically assumed she couldn't make it because of the many reasons she gave that it would be difficult.
Mm-hmm.
I actually think that you were thoughtful in not telling her, I'm going anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You just went about your business and you were living your life.
Mm-hmm.
And she viewed that somehow as rejection,
mm-hmm.
even though she gave you a very long list of why it would be very difficult for her. She did it to you. It was fine. Mm-hmm. And then you did it to her and it was horrible and you're a horrible person.
Mm-hmm.
So I do believe that, of course, our actions can hurt other people. But I also think that your friend in this case is using that as an out. you know, you hurt my feelings, so I'm exempt from hurting your feelings, or we have different standards. I get to go on a trip without you, but you don't get to go on a trip without me. Mm-hmm. I want to know why it's okay for her to have done this first, mm-hmm. and then it wasn't okay for you to do it. And I guess that would be the question that I would ask her. I don't think you should apologize. I don't think you should write a letter. I think you should kind of leave it to her. What do you think, Joss?
I have many questions. My first question is, why is this friendship so important to you? My question. And what about it works? These are legit questions I want you to think about. Because here's what doesn't work. And this is just from your letter. There's no communication. You walk around trying not to trip on landmines. That's your words. And you don't know where you stand moment to moment. Because you said in your letter, maybe we're friends, maybe we're not. Where's the parenthetical? Or were. I'm not sure where I stand at the moment.
Right.
Why is this a friendship that is working for you? I'd like you to think about that, I'm sure. Because what it's missing from you also is boundaries, and communication. Mm-hmm. And I believe, I'm sure, you should start any conversation you have with your friend about discussing the situation of trips and who goes on trips and who went and didn't tell this one that I didn't, wasn't, and all that stuff is, if you're going to discuss it, because I don't even know if we should, it seems like a really ridiculous thing to continue to talk about, but you can say, I was really hurt and disappointed when you went on a trip without me, even though we talked about possibly going together. Use the I statements and how you feel. Right. And do that in the moment. For example, instead of not saying anything, you say here, color myself hurt and disappointed, but you didn't say anything about it. Instead of not saying anything, you should have said, oh, I thought we were going to go together. I'm disappointed that I wasn't able to go with you. Boom. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And what that does, unsure, is it sort of, it sets up a boundary wherein she should tell you that these things, communicate that even though you've had a conversation about this, she's going to do this instead. This is what friendship is about. It's about this kind of good, honest, easy communication.
Right.
If she can't do that for you, then you need to set up a boundary.
And what does that look like, Joss?
For me, that would look like we're making these plans. We're talking about how much fun it would be. And we should definitely do this. We should go somewhere. Knowing what I know about this friend, that she would get upset if I went by myself or if anything should happen. You need to say, I would say at the outset, now listen, this is a really great idea. This is probably something I'm going to do. I want to do it with you because you're my friend and I like spending time with you. However, if the day comes and I haven't heard from you by this moment, you should understand that I'm going to continue on with the plans. Mm-hmm. Just be honest.
Right. I also have communicate clearly in my notes here. Yes. I think that she should have told you when you had talked about this first trip.
Yeah.
She should have said, oh, hey, you know, something opened up and kind of last minute I'm going with, you know, Gail.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry that you won't be able to make it this weekend because I know you have a wedding to go to.
Right.
You should not have learned this while she was taking the trip that you had discussed taking together.
Right.
That was rude. That was not very thoughtful of her. She had total autonomy over something you had discussed together, and she's allowed to do that. Mm-hmm. Would it be nice of her to have mentioned it? Yes. It would have been respectful. It would have been polite. It would have been a follow-up on the conversation that you already had.
Yeah.
I think that what you should do is wait for her to contact you and mm-hmm. just say in a very polite, unapologetic way, hey, Penelope, you gave me a long list of reasons why it wouldn't work for you. And I assumed that those were legitimate reasons, so I made other plans. I'm mm-hmm. not sure why this is a problem for you.
Mm-hmm.
You did the same for me when you went to the Grand Canyon with Gail.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Period.
Yes.
Leave it at that.
Right.
You didn't do anything wrong, I'm sure.
You didn't.
But as Joss said, this friendship feels very fraught.
Mm-hmm.
And not knowing where you stand is a power play.
Mm-hmm.
This friend, let's call her Penelope since you didn't name her, this friend wants to be in control. And she does that by keeping you off balance, by offering something and taking it back, and then getting angry with you for doing, you know, the same thing, being very hurt by your actions. This is how she controls the narrative, the friendship, people mm-hmm. around her.
Mm-hmm.
So is she a friend worth keeping? You mentioned that it may be tied together by family. So that does complicate things. You want to be able to have a pleasant Thanksgiving together.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't mean that you should carry this burden of thinking, I don't want to upset her. How can I make sure that I don't upset her by just being a normal person?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think what you do is put yourself in her shoes so as to understand where she was coming from when she did not call you respectfully and with courtesy to let you know that she was going on the trip anyway. A little codependent, I don't know, maybe a little afraid, or again, in that moment, you should have said, wow, that's really disappointing. I had thought that we were going to go together as we discussed. I think you need to be a little more, how do I want to say this?
Assertive.
I think you need to be assertive. I think you need to recognize that your feelings are worthwhile.
Yeah. And just as important as hers.
Just as important as hers. You are allowed to have these feelings. These feelings are valid. They are not like some crazy overblown feelings. These are very logical, reasonable feelings to have. And you're allowed to have them and allowed to express them.
Right.
And I don't think you know that, Unsure. It doesn't sound like that.
I was wondering about your childhood, Unsure, when you said, I was hurt but didn't say anything. I put myself in her position and could see where she was coming from.
Yeah.
My guess is you're a middle child.
I was going to say the same thing.
Perhaps you grew up in an argumentative household.
Mm-hmm.
You want to keep the peace.
Mm-hmm.
And you put your own feelings, wants, needs, desires after other people's.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another thing for you to take a look at. How mm-hmm. often do you subjugate your own comfort, fun, social plans, feelings, because you think someone else's are more important, or mm-hmm. because you are a no drama mama
mm-hmm.
and drama makes you uncomfortable? Obviously, you know, you're afraid she's not speaking to you. You've apologized. She wouldn't even do you the courtesy of picking up.
Mm-hmm.
You say, I apologize for some accountability. I don't see any accountability in here for you.
Nor me.
And this, you say you're so very tired of feeling like I live amongst so many landmines. We understand. We mm-hmm. have those friends and family members too. Or I should say, we did have those friends. We're stuck with the family members.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't need to live like that.
You don't.
If someone makes you feel you're walking on eggshells, then you really should assess how much time you spend with that person and how much weight you want to give to their potential displeasure with you.
Yeah. I couldn't agree more. I think what you need really here, Unsure, is not advice about how to work around landmines, but you need to stop and think, is this friendship worth saving? Is this a friendship that is something that's doing constructive in my life, something that I'm happy to have? Am I only in this friendship in order to keep the peace.
Right.
Is that why you're in the friendship? Or is that why you have the relationship with your relative or whoever this person is? Mm-hmm.
I know from experience with my toxic brother mm-hmm. that when a person like that is nice to you, you feel like you've won the lottery. Mm-hmm. So often it's a difficult experience. It's fraught. You're tiptoeing around. There's the landmines everywhere. And when you have a good experience with that, you think that was great. You know, even though it happens once every 5 years, mm-hmm. I'm so grateful. And mm-hmm. you can tell I'm a middle child right here mm-hmm. by saying that. This idea of because we had one good time, I'm in debt to you for not being an asshole. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm reading into your letter here, that there are many times when Penelope is thoughtless and unkind and explosive and angry with you. And mm-hmm. then every once in a while, there's a nice time.
That's what it sounds like to me as well.
So Is that the kind of person you want in your life? Can you back off from that experience? As Joss and I have said many times, once you start asserting yourself and calling someone on that behavior, there will be sort of a rude awakening
mm-hmm.
yes. of, oh, I can't treat Unsure like that.
Mm-hmm.
She calls me on that. She expresses mm-hmm. herself clearly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This, you know, this second trip that you took that hurt her feelings, I think if you had said, I know you can't make it because of all the reasons you listed, but I'm going anyway, mm-hmm. is kind of rubbing her face in it. I think you were polite by doing it with someone else and doing it, you know, quietly. And you don't have to hide that from her.
Mm-hmm. And also, I would say you don't have to express every moment of your life to her. She presumably is not your only friend. You have other things going on in your life and you don't have to let her know every single thing.
Yeah.
Even if she is a relative, there are ways that you can set up some boundaries so that you don't run into this again. And as Kristen has said, the minute you put your foot down, it will be startling to Penelope. But it'll be such a relief to you because the only thing that's going to happen is she will be startled. She might like huff around a little bit, but then you'll go on and it'll be done. Right. So figure out what boundaries you need to set, even if it's a relative, and then hold on to them as tight as you possibly can. So typically a boundary works if someone is late all the time and you end up waiting on them and waiting on them. And the boundary you set in that case is I'm not going to wait. And you let them know, you're always late. I understand why you're always late, but I'm not going to be waiting for you for us both to be late. So I will be leaving. So make sure you come up with your own, whatever, transportation or whatever. And then you got to stick to it. You can't say all of that and then wait anyway. So think about that, Unsure. You can create boundaries, even if this is a relative, that'll keep you sane and mm-hmm. safe. And I think once you do that, once you stick up for yourself, you'll be able to see more whether this is a worthwhile friendship for you to have.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Mm-hmm. I have a very large family, dozens of cousins and cousins' children and, you know, nieces, nephews, aunts, uncles, great aunts and uncles. And there are family members who match this description, where I had once thought we will be friends because of these mutual things we have in common. And I am open to this friendship and ready to be your friend. And it doesn't happen. We're not friends. Either we live too far apart or the person's life is just too busy for a true friendship. It doesn't mean that the relationship is bad. And I think sometimes when you give up the expectation that I must be friends with this person, you open up another kind of relationship in which you are respectful.
Mm-hmm.
You can enjoy each other's company,
mm-hmm.
but you're not saying, we'll have a sleepover because we're best friends or we're related or we're in-laws or something like that. You can just give up the expectations, see this person at Thanksgiving, and have a really nice time.
Yes, yes.
And that's maybe all you'll get.
Yeah, and that's okay. We've talked about friends for a season, mm-hmm. and this person could be your travel buddy. If you know that you love going on crazy trips and she's someone who loves that too, that's your friendship. It doesn't have to be anything more than that.
Right. Or it could be, we always have a good time at the 4th of July picnic.
Yeah. Could be that.
When we huddle together and hide from the children or something, you know, you don't have to make this person as important in your life as maybe you feel they want to be or expectations are that you should be. This can just be a pleasant acquaintance with whom you have some family in common. Mm-hmm. And those can be really wonderful. I think I've mentioned my very lovely sister-in-law, Julie, on this program. We're married to brothers. Mm-hmm. And she has three children and I have two, and the cousins love each other. And we always have a really nice time together when we see each other, but we're not close friends. Mm-hmm. I had hoped that we would be. She has an incredibly demanding job. We live 3 hours apart. She has very limited free time. And yet, every once in a while, like a couple of years ago, we went to Ireland as a family. She and I had so much fun together in very unexpected ways. I found out that she loves board games, and we, you know, we were killing it as a team, and, you know, we were having so much fun, and there we were, we married your grandnephew kind of people in the family reunion. And it was wonderful. And we've barely spoken since, you know, because I think the last time I saw her was my daughter's wedding, and she was a wonderful aunt. She had a good time. I was so happy to see her and her children and my brother-in-law. And that's it. Mm-hmm. But that's wonderful. Mm-hmm. We're not having sleepovers, going away on trips together, except for that one time with our entire family. And I think when I dropped the expectation that because we were married to brothers, we would be super, super close, we got on so well. We've never not gotten on well.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just that I had to give up the idea that I had a new best friend because she married my brother-in-law.
Right, right, right.
And I have nothing bad to say about her. I admire her, respect her, enjoy her. She's brilliant and funny. We just don't see each other that much.
I think that's perfectly fine.
Nothing wrong with that.
It really is.
So think about those things, I'm sure. And remind yourself, your opinions and your feelings matter just as much as everyone else's.
Yeah, very important. You can't keep, as Kristen's saying, subjugating yourself to someone else's desires or what they want.
Yeah, it's exhausting. And you're exhausted. And you know, I want to like tuck you into bed and give you some chicken soup because mm-hmm. I can feel your exhaustion from this letter. So you need to take better care of yourself. And sometimes that involves speaking up and putting your foot down.
Yeah.
So good luck to you, honey. And thank you for writing. And as always, we love to hear how these things work out.
Yeah.
Joss, embarrassing personal problems. I've got this covered.
All right. Go ahead. I'm dying. All right.
It was colonoscopy week. And I bring this up as a public service reminder, because it's a very important test to have. Colon cancer, colorectal cancer is a horrible cancer to have. Mm-hmm. And it's very fast spreading and very lethal. So don't be afraid of getting a colonoscopy. It's pretty much mandated that when you're 50, if you have health care, you should get it done. And so I did have some risk factors in there. So I get to have one every 5 years.
Good times.
And so I'm actually, this isn't an embarrassing personal problem. This is sort of a deeply personal problem of which I am proud.
Yes.
Is my solution.
Right.
You know, you get the, I got two bottles of fluid to drink. I heard about your liters of thick, viscous, bodily fluid-like drink.
And the devil's juice. The devil's juice.
Devil's juice.
That's what it was.
I called my my GI's office and I said, I can't drink that stuff. I will throw it up, which is true. I throw up anything with a nasty texture. So they gave me these mini bottles, which were actually not unflavorful. Chug the first one, and then, you know, it's, and now you have to drink 40 ounces of water in the next 5 hours. So I just moved my table into the bathroom.
Yes.
Brought in a little rug for my feet. Yes. I had a scented candle for obvious reasons. I had my phone, my laptop, and a long book.
Yes.
And I just said to my husband, bye, honey. I'll see you at some point when I go to bed, you know? And then the next morning, you have to drink the second bottle and then chug 40 more ounces of water.
Right.
So that basically ties you to the toilet for the next several hours. So I'm just saying the prep is the hardest part, but it's not that bad. You know, it's just fluid running through your bowels at a great speed at 55 miles an hour.
I would say you got off easy because you had the small bottles of stuff and I had the devil's juice, which was a thick, as you say, viscous fluid. And I had to drink liters of it and it filled me up. And I had to drink liters of it in like an hour.
Yeah.
And it filled me up so that I felt like, well, I must be pregnant. I, like you, did make sure I had my Kindle charged. I like set myself up.
Mm-hmm.
But the process itself, like going to the hospital and getting the procedure was lovely. It's nice in there.
You know, they cover you in warm blankets.
Yes.
They give you easy questions to answer, such as what is your birthday? Can you spell your name for me? Which I can.
Yes.
And, you know, like six people come in and check on you and ask you, have you ever had trouble being intubated before? Are you allergic to any medication? They're just so nice and caring. Mm. And then I Love to Ride by Gurney, as you know.
Wait, I don't think I knew that.
Oh, yeah. Riding on a gurney is just, it's the way to go. So I ride into the gurney, and then the lovely nurse anesthetist says, good night. And she pushes that little syringe down.
Yeah.
And you feel floaty and happy, and you wake up 2 hours later.
Yeah.
Covered by warm blankets.
Lovely.
With someone saying, can I get you some ginger ale? How are you feeling?
Yes.
So I'm good for another few years. And it really wasn't bad. You know, it's obviously a chunk of time that you have to commit to. But it's not that bad, folks. So get your colonoscopy. Get your mammograms. It is
important. Yes. All of those things, those preventative things is what they are, preventative. They're very important. So definitely do it. Don't let the devil's juice slow you down.
Ask for the other stuff.
Yeah.
Just say, I will not be able to keep the slime down. Please give me the other stuff.
Right.
This public service announcement brought to you by Crappy Friends.
That's right.
Thanks for listening. Send your letters to theladies@crappyfriends.net and please consider leaving us a review.
Crappy Friends is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Find more podcasts you'll love at frolic.media/podcasts.
I'm Kristen Higgins.
And I'm Joss Day.
And we're best friends.
Forever.